Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, the podcast where we give our takes on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. On this episode, we have the Handsome Ransom, Randy King.
That's me.
And we have special guest, Ivy.
Yeah, what's up?
And we're recording from Garage Studios. Hey, everybody. If you like the show, do us a solid. Like, share, and subscribe. Guys, what is up?
Well, we have a fancy, classy, intro there.
I wouldn't say it was fancy, but I like it.
Well, some good old King of Fighters 96. That's some jazzy stuff.
Points to anybody who knows which theme that was, by the way.
I love how I'm
Well,
staring.
I knew that.
I'm staring at you blankly.
I just said that. Of I think you're talking about the, the audience.
Like which team has that theme?
Oh, well, it's not fair because I can see it right there.
Yeah, but you didn't say it.
I didn't.
King of Fighters.
I said King of Fighters. I always called it the Akari team or the.
Now you've said
yeah.
it. Thanks.
What a nerd.
Well, I mean, there's like the King of
Fighters. And you spoiled the fun, no less.
Well, yes.
jerk.
If people don't know, King of Fighters, it's a combination of a bunch of fighting games that this company SNK made. And I always thought it was cool because they made teams that were themed. So there's a Korean team, so obviously there's a guy named Kim in it.
Of course.
There's a Japan team with a guy who looks like Eric Roberts, and that was done on purpose. His name is Robert, and he looks like Eric Roberts.
Why?
Because there's this old martial arts movie called Best the Best, where they had Team USA fight against Team Korea, and he's in there.
That was actually pretty well thought out, actually,
yeah.
from the guys of SNK.
Yes, they thought about a lot of stuff. There's there's the Korean team, Japan team. There's a bunch of...
You know, there's always genius moves, and then they have characters named Geese.
There's a dude named Geese Howard, who's the super villain.
Of course.
He's this badass dude who loves a lot of Asian, Japanese themed stuff. Blonde white guy. Blonde white dude.
Because when you think badass, you think Geese Howard.
Geese Howard. Which is funny because he actually is a bad, I wouldn't want to mess with him.
No, he is a monster.
He's a super villain you'd see in an 80s movie versus Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Should I Google him? Because I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You can if you want to.
Definitely,
it's not a huge deal. It's super nerdy fighting game stuff. But yeah, let's look up Geese.
I think we forgot to tell her that we are a bunch of nerds on
yeah.
this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I knew it was going to be some nerd shit because I've known you for years.
Yes, for people to know, Ivy is an old friend of mine. But yeah, she knows. I feel like it's funny because this is a person who really has no clue on a lot of the things we're going to talk about.
No.
As far as the tangents we go into.
Which, if anything else, actually is actually a blessing.
I love that.
Because we're getting an outside perspective on these things.
Of course.
Right.
Well, because, because a lot of times we've done this show at comic book conventions and whatnot, and we've run into people who know what we're talking about, and it's just really interesting conversations at the same time where I realize we've never had someone on the show who has...
Zero knowledge.
Zero ideas. So.
And I have a son. I have a son that's into this stuff. And
well,
I'm just like, yeah.
I mean, we like old, this is old stuff. But if you look at Geese Howard, he's not.
Geese Howard? Okay.
Geese Howard. Like exactly how you think it sounds.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Late 80s, early 90s villain. Super villain, but fighting in a martial arts tournament.
Yeah,
some reason.
And somebody who would send their child to he would send their child to a boarding school.
Oh yeah.
Sort of
a hard boarding school. It's the best one, but it's no, you...
Do you remember that? Do you remember that movie, Toy Soldiers? I feel this would
be
his dad.
Yes, actually, yeah, that's with Will Wheaton, right?
Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Why are you saying Wheaton?
Cool.
Toy Soldiers. Wow, that's a good pull. I like that. That's a good one.
I like old movies.
Actually, Geese Howard. He looks like he would be He would send his kid to Hogwarts and immediately say, "You need to kill that other blonde-haired kid." To gain power. I don't know what his name is.
Draco Malfoy.
Yes. You need to kill him. I'm not huge into Harry Potter, but apparently...
Now we're mixing up video games with literature and movies.
Why not?
I want to see where this goes.
I don't know. It'd be crazy. It's crazy stuff.
I don't know why I... Immediately after I Googled Geese Howard and I saw what he looked like, right away I Googled Dolph Lundgren because that's what...
Actually, you know
what? Oh, shit. There it is.
Whoa. I didn't think about that.
And you know what? There is a movie where he actually wears that
yes, he
getup.
Is. Yeah. Yes, he is. That's with
Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee. Oh, mm-hmm. God, was it not Rapid Fire? Showdown in
hard.
Little Tokyo.
It was hard for me to take him seriously as a protagonist.
Well, because he's a villain.
He's a villain through and through, man. Except for the Expendables. He did a pretty good job of
Well, he kind of is a villain in the first one.
Yeah, he's an antagonist. I wouldn't say he's a villain. He's the antagonist.
Anyway.
Not the villain.
But yes, you look up Geese Howard. Ivy looked up Geese Howard. Why is this person in there?
We're getting her started in her education of nerddom.
I feel like that's not a...
It's a good introduction, I think.
I don't think so.
It's a good introduction.
Anyway.
It's like starting in the middle. Like, now I've got to go on either side of the spectrum in terms of looking at geek stuff. Like, I actually watched a show at this theater that I used to be a part of called Bindlestiff in San Francisco. Jesus Christ. There's my mouth. And and it was called The Geek Show. And they had all these, nerdy, like, video game references. I feel like that's something that you two would like.
What's it called?
It's called The Geek Show. And it's running, I think, for a couple... I don't know if it's running for a couple more days or if this is closing weekend or whatever, but...
I feel like we need to go to this.
You guys should go. I think they're... I don't know if their closing night is tomorrow or Sunday or whatever, but there should be, like, a link on my... I'll ping you the link later.
Cool.
I took my son, I think, a couple weeks ago, and his dad actually went tonight. That's why I had to drop him off with his stepmom.
Right on.
All
right, so we're actually recording episode 108.
Yes.
Dang, congrats, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And
I don't care. I wasn't in all 108.
Yeah. I don't think everybody was in all 108.
No, there's a whole long story of how, like, no one has the perfect attendance in this.
Really?
Yeah, not one person because of all these situations.
But I kind
of
like that.
Yeah, well, because everyone's had to step up once in a while. Right. There was a point where, because we used to have a third host, Sean Vander.
That was my next question.
He actually had to have surgery, and then there was that one week. Emmanuel went to Las Vegas to compete in a fighting game tournament, and that happened to also be the week
nerd.
Where I know when I went that same all that same week I got hurt. I had an ankle injury, and I had to go to the emergency room, and then was in the hospital for like 3 days.
You guys are a hot mess.
And then that week, but we're like, we record on Friday. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still gonna record. And everyone's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I got this. And it was me, and actually, we have another guest host that comes in sometimes. My cousin, I was gonna say Ivy, my cousin Sarah. she came in and helped us. And she was like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, I just got out of the hospital. Who cares? Let's do this.
I'm all hopped up on morphine right now.
No,
I think
I wasn't
I'm
none of that. They didn't give me anything that. I just had antibiotics, and I learned that I'm very allergic to a specific one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called.
Points for anybody who can figure it out.
That's why I have all this.
Peclot, dude.
All this, like, scars on my body.
Knuckle, dude. We got to get you some cocoa butter.
So,
you're a hot mess.
I look at it, I'm like, it's whatever. So it reminds me, like, Bactrim, whatever antibiotic starts with a B, that's what I'm allergic to.
I don't know why. I just, I whole want to say Bactine.
It's not Bactine.
So from the Word Vomit podcast crew, fuck you, B antibiotics.
Yes, whatever. Exactly. But no one has
just pour some Robitussin on it. Just why?
Tussin.
No. Vicks Vapor Rub.
That's right. You're Filipino.
Yeah. You know, maybe if we start from 100, who can get the best attendance? I'm sure that'll work out better. Huh. Right now, we're good, right?
Are you guys 8 for 8 now that it's been 108 episodes?
Actually, no. God. You know, I'm 8 for 8.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because
I had to step out because I did another fighting game tournament.
Yes, you did. You went to Sacramento that one weekend.
So I already lost. He's already won.
What are these tournaments like? Because I have a friend whose brother used to, I don't know if he still does this, but he started out running the Tekken tournaments in San Diego. In that area. So what's
his name?
Mark.
Wait, Mark Julio?
Yeah.
You know Mark Julio?
I know his sister. I've been friends with his sister for years.
Holy shit.
We went to Japan together. And so I've met Mark. I've met Mark a handful of times.
We interviewed him.
I know Mark.
Did you? You know Mark?
I'm old friends with Mark.
Yeah,
Mark Man 23. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Man 23.
We interviewed him at a Tekken 7 tournament.
Nice. That's hella funny.
Yeah, I've known him for years because when I worked at Capcom, he was our contact for when he worked for Mad Catz.
Of course he was.
And
me and his sister, like, it's funny, we met on the internet. Like, this is like back when before blogging was a thing. Like, that's how we met each other. And I knew that she went to school with people I knew. So I was like, okay, so I'm not getting, this is back before catfish, obviously. She's an actual person. And we actually stayed in touch with each other. And like, we crossed over into real life friends. Like, remember when I went to Japan last year? She's who I went with.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
What did you end up doing in Japan?
Like
whatever the fuck she wanted.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I was there. I mean,
but I want details.
I took my work laptop there. So technically, like, while Christine and her boyfriend were out, you know, partying, I would be home, like, on, you know, on a meeting or whatever, and they would be FaceTiming me from the clubs and the bars. I'm just like, you guys, I'm on this shit. But because I was technically on a work trip, I was able to expense most of my food. So that's really what I did. It was just, I ate my way through. Fucking, I ate everything, dude.
She wrote off her meals in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucking genius. Mad respect
that's
for that.
Boss right
I'm
there.
Also yeah, weirded out. I'm like, holy shit, you, Mark. Well, he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, we have
right,
a connection.
So, you know, since but first yes. off, thank you, Ivy, for coming on the show. And,
yes,
thanks for having me.
If you can give us a heads up of who you are, what do you do?
Who am I? Okay, like, who am I? I'm a comedian based in, I would say primarily San Francisco. I mean, I grew up in Hayward. That's where I'm originally from. My parents still live out there. And so I actually started doing comedy probably 10 years ago, 10, maybe a little longer than that. And then I stopped right away because maybe like less than a year in after, you know, I got pregnant, had a kid, and then I took a long ass break. I slowly segued back through doing theater and sketch comedy. And eventually I quit that just to focus on comedy full time. Like, I knew I wasn't ready. I had to get my life together. I went back to comedy full time. And by full time, I don't mean like I dropped my day job. I mean, we got to have health insurance. We got kids. But like, I dropped theater. I stopped doing everything else except stand up. And that was like in 2015, 2016. And so I've just been performing comedy around like California ever since.
Yeah. What spots? Any?
Like you mean clubs specifically?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, what's interesting is that I actually got up at clubs in LA before I got up at clubs here in the Bay Area, which is
really
interesting. Yeah, like the first major club that I did was Hollywood Improv, and then I did the Comedy Store after that.
Holy shit, you did the Comedy Store?
Twice.
Oh man. Yeah. How was that? Wait, which room in the Comedy Store?
The Belly Room.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was crazy because I was super excited about the Comedy Store. And every last person, the day of the show, like, I flew down there, and every last person that I knew in LA that I had asked to go flaked because the show happened to be on a Sunday.
So weak.
Yeah, dude. So my cousin that I was staying with in Long Beach, this is like Jake's godfather, he was like, you know what? We're going to go. We're going to have fun. It's going to be cool regardless. And I was like, cool. Let's have a good time. You know, no expectations. So he goes and he sits in the front. It's like super chill. And of course, the special guest set that night was Margaret Cho.
That's right. You told me you opened for Margaret Cho.
So it was crazy because I didn't even notice that she was there. I didn't know that she was there. Was a different headliner,
yeah.
But we were all in the Belly Room. They have a separate green room, but mm-hmm. nobody really kicks it in the green room because we all sit in the section that's off from the stage. That's sort of like separated, and we all wait to go on from there. And so I was texting one of my friends because I was like super excited that I was at the fucking Comedy Store. And then I feel like a tap on my knee, and I look up, and it's fucking Margaret Cho. I was like. And I couldn't say anything. I was just like, oh my God. And then I moved back. She tapped me on the knee because I was in the way.
Okay. So did she know who you were?
No. So I moved my knee.
I would lie and say, yeah, we became fast friends. She saw me perform before.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
So she moved.
She was going to be my tag team partner. We were going to go all over the world and do shows. And
That would be amazing. And then I just moved out of the way and she smiled and, you know, just another, you know. two Asian girls on the show where the lineup is like majority guys. It was nice.
That's great.
It was really nice. And my cousin was so starstruck that he forgot. He took pictures of her, but he didn't take any pictures of me.
Oh, that's fucked up. So, but I get that.
Yeah. So I don't have any pictures at the Comedy Store, but I have a shit ton of pictures of Margaret Cho.
You know, you have
store.
A memory.
Yeah, I do.
A, you performed at the Comedy Store, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
B, you. I mean, not that you planned it, but you end up being an opening act for Margaret Cho,
yeah.
A stand-up comedian that I love. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet Missy Shore?
No, I didn't. Like, I've seen her in passing.
Yeah.
This is another time that I was at the Comedy Store, but I know she passed recently, but I've never actually. Yeah, I never actually got to like introduce myself or shake my hand or anything.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody gets to do that a lot anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really rare.
Was Polly? I don't know who runs the Comedy Store now. Is that Pauly does it? I know he has his own podcast.
I think the family, it's like still family operated. So
but
it's
not
still
him.
A short family. I don't think
Pauly definitely doesn't run it. So what was I going to say about Margaret Cho? So, you know, prior to that, I grew up watching her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, of course you know this.
Your stand up over that TV series that I thought was great, but I know it was really watered down.
Everybody hated it, but like
I thought it was great.
It was like American,
All American Girl. You know why? Because I liked it because she was the first. Like regular Asian family I ever saw on television. Not that I'm Korean, but you know.
I also had a huge crush on the one that played her little brother. I was just like, oh my God, he's so cute. He reminded me of another boy I had a crush on in school. But the thing about Margaret Cho is just like, you know, I don't know if you ever get this coming from a Filipino family, but like I don't sing, I don't dance, I don't do any of that stuff. So for years I was just like, okay, well, I don't fit into any of these fucking family parties. But then Margaret Cho was the first Asian person I saw telling jokes. I was like, you know what? That's something that I could do.
Oh shit.
You know, yeah? I don't have to fucking play the piano, I don't have to play the violin, I don't have to do any of that shit. I could just get up there and be who I am and maybe it'll take me somewhere. You know what I mean? So I collected, like for years, I collected her DVDs and I have all the books that she's ever written. I had never actually gotten a chance to see her live ever. And then there she was standing in front of me. I was like, fuck. So that was both the first time I met her, the first time I worked with her, and the first time I seen her live.
I've seen her perform like 3 times. Actually, my wife got me to, the last time we saw her perform was in Berkeley. She was like for my birthday and we were playing at, I forgot, I think it was the Berkeley Theater. She fucking killed it. I loved it. And then I'm still thinking like how much I love that. And I'm very jealous of your experience because, A, you got to see her in an intimate, very famous comedy place, the Comedy Store, and actually perform before, like, you were, all intents and purposes, you're her opening act. That is fucking awesome.
Like, how many people can actually say that? You know, it's just, that's well, not very
how many people were, how many comedians performed that night? Basically, that's that number that I can think of. In my
because, right, probably
you're included.
Because you said it was like a special guest, so it wasn't even announced. It wasn't on the marquee.
I had no idea she was there. I had no idea. Like, I just, you know, I knew
that's crazy.
Like, I don't even think I got the lineup until like maybe 2 days prior. I was one of two people that came from out of town. And we were all in a group chat saying, okay, this is what time you guys need to come. And, you know, tell your people, whatever, you know, you have this amount of tickets. You guys have drink tickets and just you know, typical stand-up stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but they had no idea, like, they didn't tell us anything about who the guests were or anything like that. So I literally just found out when she tapped me on the knee. I was like,
yeah, I would have went, oh my God.
How long did you not wash that knee after that happened?
Just it took me a while. Like, I was just like, oh my God.
I mean, obviously, this, how many years ago was this?
This was last year.
Last year? Okay. Well, last year.
Oh, so this was really recent.
Then yeah. I would have been really upset with your cousin for not, like, did you think to ask to take a picture with her? Do you think?
No. So the thing is,
was she in a separate area because she's like, she's but a god and you're a mere mortal?
No, right after that, she left because at that time she was in treatment, like in So right after that, she
yeah, she's gone through a lot of struggles, man. I actually give her a lot of props. She's coming out of it.
Yeah, no, really. She right after she did her set, she went back to her facility. So she, you know, she said bye to a few people, kind of like, you know, give a little wave and stuff like that. Because her boyfriend is also a comedian. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know if he's like a yoga instructor or whatever, but he was also on our lineup and he was also very funny.
Oh, nice.
Rocco Stowe was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm sorry. I'm Nick.
That's just
are you okay?
Now I'm trying to think. It's like, damn, that's such a cool story.
Yeah.
Randy
yeah.
King's a starstruck.
I know. That's I'm like, what happened, oh, that's just awesome. Now. Well, it's more, it's also, we're still processing the fact that she knows Mark Julio.
Just,
which is such a random thing, which, because she mentions Tekken, and I'm like, who is it? I should have been like, it's Mark Julio, huh? Because she said San Diego and said Tekken.
Yeah, and those
are two things that Mark is definitely about. San Diego and Tekken.
He's the only person I could think of, and this is like way before I even met him. Like, he was the only person I could think of. Whenever somebody says like video game tournaments, I was like, oh, that's sort of like what Christine's brother does.
Christine's brother.
That's what I was calling Christine's brother.
It's not Mark Julio. It's Christine's brother.
Christine's brother. Yeah, that's my girl. Like, I actually the one time I met Mark, this was like, I think last, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but Jacob and I, my son, we went to go visit Christine and her, she, at the time she had just had a kid. So like, we went to visit the kid and it was like probably the hottest time of the year. I think this is like August. We were in North Park in San Diego, and then we all drove to Paradise Hills, and, you know, we went and hung out with her mom and her brothers. Mark was actually there, and he was asleep on the couch for the 30 minutes that we were there.
It's always weird because we put these guys up on pedestals, and then we find out that they're actually human beings,
like normal people. Oh, yeah,
it's like, holy shit, really? No, he does not drink water. That man drinks wine every
day. I mean,
day.
I know him. I know him enough where I don't do that. But yeah,
yeah. Like, I had
wait. You have to go to the bathroom too. Yeah, no.
Well, I just think it's funny. Also, I'm friends with him in real life, and I see him on social media, and he's traveling so much. I'm like, I'm not surprised that he's sleeping on the couch.
It's funny enough. I ran into him when I went to go to participate in Evo.
Yeah.
The first thing
that I said, I was like, hey, did you hear what happened to Randy? He's like, yeah, I saw his post. He's in the hospital. I'm like, you're a good friend.
Yeah.
Like, you pay attention.
Yeah, like, I got to the hospital.
You're a good man.
Well, I had this leg infection. They're like, you need to come in or it can get worse. I'm like,
you know what?
You might get gangrene if you don't.
You know what that actually reminds me of? I don't know if you guys actually saw this article. I did post it up on our Facebook page.
What's that?
Where there was a kid that was playing Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
so
a tornado
weird.
Was hitting, and he finished the game before he grabbed his sisters and hid for shelter.
It's like Fortnite, if you don't know, is a multiplayer game. It's gotten really big now because you can play it on your smartphone and on your PS4 and Xbox One.
I've heard my kid mention it once or twice.
Okay. Fortnite, everybody plays it. It's all like simple things. And this kid his house is about to hit by a hurricane or a tornado, and he's just going to finish the game. And like, I think to myself,
and his reasoning was, I knew how far the tornado was. The game was already almost over anyways, so I figured I might as well finish it and then go to safety.
I was, while I go, priorities. Famous last words.
And I, famous and, last words. Right. And I will repeat the line that I posted on that Facebook page. I respect the dedication, but stupid, it's a hurricane.
It's a hurricane.
It's stupid. What are you thinking?
Yeah, but you could have been somewhere far away.
Like his sisters, man. Like, were they like little sisters? Or?
Yes, they were little sisters. I mean, the good news is, you know.
They're safe.
There is no obituary about the guy who was playing Fortnite. He survived.
He survived. But the fact that story came out, I'm like, God, you dumb.
You dumb.
Stupid.
I'm like, hell no. I'm like, nah. Like, you know what? I guess if it was something more urgent, like if there was a fire happening. No, man. Unplug your system, take it and go. But
it's like, I have 3 layers of closed doors. I'll be fine for another 10 minutes.
Oh, hell no. Nope. They're like, fire. Nope, we're out of here.
Bye.
Laters.
Are you still starstruck? You okay?
No, I'm fine.
I'm not used to seeing you not, like, talking.
No, it was just funny.
What have you done with him?
You know what it is? It's really not the starstruck, but it's the...
Man, he's broken.
I'm always in awe of how small a world can be. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, shit.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it's just regular ass Ivy. You know what I mean? Like, it's
well,
weird.
No, I just thought it was funny. Like, especially since it's not like you necessarily know Mark.
No.
Himself, you know his sister. And it's what small world still.
It still kind of blows my mind, though. It's like, you don't know him as Mark Hooley. It's like, oh, it's because she's sister.
Well, I have to say that because of who we are. It's like, we talk about fighting games.
That's,
so Mark
that's the thing that blows my mind. That's the real thing about that. It's just,
I mean, I call him Mark. I don't call him Mark Hooley.
It was just, you know, honestly, like when we went to that house, it was just, this is their mom's house, by the way. It was just a regular ass visit. Like we picked up Mexican food at El Nuevo Milenio.
Well,
like,
because you were at San Diego.
Yeah. You know, it's a place where there's like bars on the windows. Like, that's how you know you're in the right place. And we went to their house, and Jacob was just, his jaw dropped because video game stuff is all over the house.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, because
it's Mark.
Mark has a lot of video game stuff. Like, he, aside from he's a shoe guy.
Yeah.
But he's also an arcade stick guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a ton of arcade sticks, and he will.
He just walked into holy ground.
It's like, oh my God, what's all this stuff?
Yeah, Jake was just like, what do they do? And I was just like, I don't know. You could ask Auntie Christine's brother. Like, I don't know what he does. I mean, I know what he does, but I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
So. You have an idea of what he does. That's
exactly.
About it.
I was like, I know it's video game related, and yeah.
But yeah. So aside from the stand-up comedy,
yeah.
What else are you doing?
So I'm in graduate school. That's boring.
No, that's actually really exciting. I always think that's awesome. Because the fact that, A, you're a parent.
Yeah.
You work a day job.
Yep.
You do stand-up comedy. Quite often, I see your updates. We're going to post like your schedule of where you're going to be at, because we want our listeners, if they live in this area, to
come
check
back
you out.
To a show, dude.
I will. As see soon you. As, you know, it's been tough.
I know.
But also, you are going to graduate school? Damn.
Where are you going?
USC.
Damn.
So, I mean, but I'm super part-time. It's not like I'm taking a full load or anything like that. Like, after my first semester last year, I was burned out. I really thought that I was in an accelerated program. And I was like, oh, this is nothing. Like, you know, it's online, and I'm literally just, like, it's almost like having a WebEx meeting, like a video conference, but for school, right? So I was like, I could handle this. Like, 2 classes, I could handle this. Dude, by the time I finished my finals, I was so burned out. I had actually lost about maybe 5 pounds from just being super stressed out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then after my last final of that semester, I woke up on the couch the next day at 5 o'clock in the morning spooning my cat. The TV was still on, and there were cat snacks and Ferrero Rocher wrappers all over the floor.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was just like,
wow.
I was just way too happy about that. So I talked to my academic advisor. I was like, I need to just dial this back. So ever since then, like, now I'm on the, like, 8 semester program. So it's going to take me a lot longer, assuming I even finish this program.
That cat never looked at you ever the same way, did it?
No. No, my cat's traumatized now.
I'd be like, no, the cat's like, I know the deal.
Like, there's always, like, it'll be happy to see you, but there's always that little piece of it that's just like, it's really nervous. Like,
right? Like, he, when I got him, he was a cross-eyed cat, and now his eyes are straight. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I'm studying social work, which is a huge departure from what I do in my professional career, which is corporate finance. And
you're just kind of all over the place, aren't you?
A little bit. Like, I just, I don't know.
That's dope, though.
I don't know if
I
it's
like
that Gemini / ADD thing. Like, I just have a million interests, and just, I feel like I have to find a way to indulge all of them. And it's just interesting to me, because I think it's a line of work that requires a lot of empathy, which I don't have in my personal life. I think it's a good study on how to fake it till you make it professionally.
Hold on. Wait a second.
If you think about it, though, That's actually the signs of a comedian, because they can say, I can use that in a bit.
Exactly.
Oh, well, it's like you're staying in the field to be a social worker. But which, for all intents and purposes, you have to have some empathy, but in your personal life, you have zero empathy.
Well, you gotta remember, that's the personal life.
I get it. I was like, hold on.
That's
wait,
a professional life right there. Professional life, I have to give a damn. Real life, fuck it.
Right. I was actually telling one of my friends, you know, like, because they asked me, you know, just also, I guess, so, because your audience doesn't know, I'm in the process of finalizing a divorce. So one of my friends asked me recently, you know, have you figured out, you know, now that you're going through this divorce and now that you're kind of back out there in the world, have you figured out what your type is? Like, do you have a type? Is there something you've learned from that experience? And I was like, you know what? I think my type is emotionally unavailable. It's like, you guys ever see that Chris Rock skit where he talks about what men want? And it's really not that much different from what I want. Feed me, fuck me, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And give me the big piece of chicken. Like, those are my needs, really.
That,
like,
chicken is mine.
Yeah.
Two wings and a pork chop. He won't know the difference.
That's fair.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I joke about having no empathy. I have a little bit of empathy, but for me, I feel like there are certain situations that call for it. Like, I can't feel for everything. I don't think I have the emotional bandwidth and the capacity to, you know, kind of feel that way for every single situation my family life, especially people that's close to me. Like, and I think that was probably one of the hardest things in it was like one of the biggest factors, and this is probably the only like remotely serious thing I'm going to say during your entire podcast. It was like the one thing that was with my marriage is that my old partner was very, very just emotional. Like, it's like one of those things where you feel everything and there's emotions, like everything's on your sleeve. And it was just like, to me, I was like, it made me check out because I was not used to that. Like, I was raised in a family where not a lot of people showed emotion. And the one emotion that they were very familiar with was either laughing or anger.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Those are the two things that I'm used to.
No, that's actually almost everything at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really enough.
So grad school, that's what's going on. What else do I do? So I also, my volunteer work, and this sort of ties into what I study in grad school, my volunteer work is as a sex educator in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So
wait, where exactly, you say in San Francisco, so is it like in schools? Is it like a service you're providing to?
So I'm part of an organization called San Francisco Sex Information. And
we'll make sure to put the link up on the page.
Thank you. Yeah, they've been around since like the 70s, and they were established out of a need for people that were in search of like free, non-judgmental, non-stance taking, just sexual information. And so the stance that this organization takes really is just harm reduction. You know, they don't, like, pretty much the stance that they take is that people are adults. They're going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as an organization, if other people come to them wanting just straight up specific information about how to do certain things, we're not going to tell them, hey, maybe it's not a great idea to go see a dominatrix. No, we're going to tell them the safest way to do the things that they're going to do, because they're adults. They should have the capacity to make informed decisions.
Make sure you have a safe word. That is the first thing I would say.
I was talking to somebody the other day because this is like one of my old hookups, and I can talk about this, right?
Yeah.
So one of my old hookups, they called me and they're just like, well, they texted me first and they're just like, hey, do you have a few minutes for a phone call? Like, you know, we got to talk about something. And I was just like, shit, do I need to get tested? I mean, granted, it had been like a few months, but I was just like, you know, that for some reason, that's always what comes to my mind whenever somebody says, can we talk? And they don't specify what they want to talk about. Right. So, of course, right away, I called him. I was like, hey, what's going on? He didn't want to talk about that. He wanted advice on how to negotiate like a BDSM sexual situation. He was like, I feel like you're the only person that I feel comfortable talking about this kind of stuff with. And I was like,
but you're trained in that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, and I asked him, I was like, have you established a safe word? And he was like, she suggested guacamole. And I started laughing. I was like, maybe that's not the best safe word if it's going to make one or both of you laugh.
I always think about that episode, that guacamole. Early episode of Family Guy when they're talking about how they want to get, it's like supposed to be making fun of the Just Say No to Drugs program.
That was one of the first episodes,
yes,
right?
Yeah. But yeah. And Peter and Lois are talking about this, about how they're going to go to school and they're getting ready for bed, but you realize they're putting on leather, and like Peter puts on the mask, has the zipper on it, and then he goes, remember the safety word is banana, I love you, and then zips it up, and then like,
but if you think about it, that's kind of like the direction that you want people to take when it comes down to something like this. It's a casual thing.
Yeah, it was a casual conversation that just, obviously as the viewer, you go, oh my God, what the hell just happened?
Right.
But when you think about it, it's like, oh, they're just having, A, they're talking about something completely unrelated to what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then it goes right into it. I'm like, yeah, that's really, when it comes to things like that, you should, it should be a casual, non-judgmental conversation. Yeah. Now, obviously, if one of the parties is not into it, well, then they're not into it.
Exactly. Like, if they don't like it, if they don't like it, they don't like it. It's just, this is why we take the stance of, you know, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to tell you what to do with your life. We're just going to tell you the safest way to do it. Like, we are the Planet Fitness of sexual education.
Goddamn right.
Just no judgment.
Wait, don't you not like Planet Fitness, though?
No, I do. I went to.
I thought we talked about that. How, like, you? Well, because remember, were you the one who told me that you're not allowed to grunt while you're working out?
Oh, that's
there?
Right.
Well, yeah, but I didn't. I never complained about that though.
It's like, what do you mean you can't grunt? Well, because we made a joke about how. But that's how I try. That's how I'm safe is when I'm grunting working out.
Oh.
Anyway,
that wasn't me.
I don't work out. Okay, so I made a laugh about that because I'm like, wait, you can't grunt while you're working? That's weird.
I don't know. Like, I feel like people shouldn't be allowed to grunt during tennis. But they do. It's so weird. Like, whenever my dad's watching tennis, like, I close my eyes and it just sounds like gay porn. Like, it just.
I've never thought about it. Like, because
do it.
Say, no, people say it's like that, and I think, like, that is the weirdest sounding porn.
And now our listeners are never going to be able to see tennis the same
exactly,
way
like,
again.
If you don't know how women's tennis sounds, like that part, man, I'm sorry. Me, I get that joke of that, but I look, I'm like, that doesn't sound like. I'm trying to think. It's like. Now part of me wants to look up a category saying
gay porn tennis?
Yes.
Gay porn tennis. Just do it.
I'm not going to put that in my search now. I want to put it in a couple other things because, you know, I don't want things to pop up in case something happens to me.
With your algorithm and shit.
Yeah, I don't want things to pop up.
Randy was looking at tennis.
It's like, damn it. Well, like, it makes me laugh about it. It was like,
he keeps going at it over and over again.
Chris Hardwick in his special, he talks about
how ball boy.
He wanted to look up, he wanted to see if there was a thing called honey bearing or whatever, and he made a joke about that, and he didn't want to die knowing that that was a thing where people would be looking at, like, if people were using, I forgot what the exact description was, because, damn it, I don't want to
clear his search history.
I don't want to know that. I wanted to have that in my Google search. He's all, known cubby chaser, Chris Hardwick dies.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, that is hilarious, and made me think, oh shit, what is the last thing I searched for, and would I be embarrassed by that when I die?
If you ever watch just like mixed doubles on TV, like close your eyes and picture it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
It's like
out.
Eastern European.
All right, folks. Eastern European.
K-porn.
Good to know. Good to know. So that's really awesome though. So you're a sex educator, you do stand up comedy, going through grad school, day job. Jesus Christ. And you're a parent? Oh my God.
Yeah.
How are you even awake right now?
Crystal meth. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, I feel like, no, absolutely not. So, you know,
I was wondering why I saw my dealer at the corner.
Whoa.
Your dealer is
you
me.
You have the same dealer. Wow.
Look at that.
Crazy.
Your dealer's
small world.
Your dealer's also a cute Asian girl. No, yeah. You know, people ask me that a lot. They're just like, you don't sleep much. And I was like, you know, I average about 7 hours a night.
That's actually pretty really. Good.
I think what it is just, you
time
know,
time management.
It's time management. And also, like, I don't have a whole lot of other, like, I guess, social obligations. You know, like, my married friends, they always have to do stuff. Like, they've got to go to, you know, wifey's family stuff. They got to go to somebody's family stuff. They've got to go to, like, a million things here and there. Like, I don't have any of that. And even when I was married, I didn't have any of that because, you know, ex's family, like, lived, like, far, like, Texas. And, like, I think that was one of the biggest, like, selling points for me was just the fact that, oh, we don't have to visit your family. Great. I like my family. Let's go. So.
Oh, man. See, both, like, my side and my in-laws, they all live in this area. So it's like, fuck, we still have to do this. Can I just stay home and watch TV?
Are both your brother and sister in the Bay?
No, my sister actually moved to Fremont, and my brother still lives in L.A.
Okay.
And she just got engaged.
Oh, congrats.
Which is great.
Congrats
which is,
to little Dot.
But yeah, my brother got engaged, and my sister is... It's funny, because we were laughing about how... None of us are with anyone who's Filipino.
Yeah. It's not in the cards.
It's like, oh, like, you know, my wife, she's Latina. My sister's boyfriend, he's African-American. And Rob, my brother is engaged to a white girl. So I was like, yeah, we totally hard left on all those other choices.
No, exactly, because now your family Christmas cards are going to look like a Gap commercial.
We're gonna, yeah, that, and then we're gonna have like the best looking children.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to make a joke that the reason why, like, nobody, it's the same thing with my family. Like, my sister's with a guy from the Dominican Republic, and my ex-husband was like white and Korean, and we used to joke around about this, like, yeah, we're not gonna be with Filipinos because all the good looking ones are related to us. But
there you go.
You know, but it's just, you know, I don't know what it is. It's not, I think it's just, we know what we, this is my theory. Okay, I'm not saying that this applies to everybody, and, you know, this is
why it's called a theory.
Yeah, this is a theory. So I think because we know about, because most Filipino kids know about all the obligations that take place in a Filipino family, we don't want to have that twofold. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean?
Like, you're already bored out of your mind when you had to do it when you were younger. You don't want to do that shit again.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to go through like all this like church shit and all this other Filipino stuff with, you know, I go through enough with my family.
Yeah, you got to do it again.
And I got a big ass family, you know what I mean? So I actually feel fortunate because my family's scattered all over America. Like, our closest blood relatives are in LA. This is why I'm glad, like, I don't have anybody in the immediate area. And that's probably why I have the time and the energy to do what I do, because I don't have anybody on my ass.
Although I gotta say, though, because again, I married a Latina, that a lot of our cultures are very similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, ah, damn it. It's the same thing.
Do you guys go to like Catholic churches and stuff?
When it is required of us, we go to church.
Holiday Catholics, you too?
Yes. Yeah. Like Easter, Christmas.
Just any holiday that justifies food, really, is what we do.
Yeah, basically that. Mm-hmm. That's all that. Although I was very disappointed to find out that, oh, it's only in during the, was it Mexican Mass? Does the corn guy come out?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? We don't get that?
No, you don't. Because when it's regular, like
non-Spanish Mass,
yeah, you get like,
boring.
You get bread and punch. But when it's like
the corn guy,
when it's a Spanish Mass, you get like the corn guy.
The
you
churro
get,
lady.
Yes, oh, the yeah. Hot chocolate.
You get, dude.
It's worth going, like, even if you don't understand shit.
Nah.
That's why my parents go to the Spanish Mass.
And the lady that sells the bacon wrapped hot dogs on the side has like the tacos going.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's just like,
and they're fresh, dude. Hell yeah.
You cannot fight that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I guess that was the one thing that, you know, because I had to go to church when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's like, that was the one saving grace, is that after church we would always get something else.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it was just like, okay, we're going to be lazy, we're just going to go to McDonald's afterwards. But like, there was also that time where there's like, oh, the churro lady's there.
Hell yeah.
Or you know, there's somebody who's making tacos, or we'll go to the taqueria that's across the street from the church.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, there you go.
Didn't have any of that. Did not grow up with that until much later in my life.
And so, like, so that's the
what? That's an option?
And, you know, and probably the wrong term, but that was the saving grace to go out of church.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like someone needs to like bank on this, like for the non-Spanish Mass.
Absolutely.
Come out with like, not necessarily like a taco. I mean, you could get a taco, like a taco cart. It's like, come on, man. You know, something else.
You know how I learned about all of this? Like my uncle in Anaheim, this is like my closest blood relatives. Like our uncle, my dad's brother, he was in the church choir.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would always sing like Christmas. So they would have Filipino Mass and they would also have Spanish Mass. So the Filipino Mass, they had like hella food. Spanish Mass had hella more food. And that's also how we learned about like all the like food that was around like that immediate area. And it's just like, church is a perfect time to introduce this to people, because we were just sitting doing nothing for like an hour and a half. You got hungry ass kids
waiting. Yeah, it's like, okay,
it's a pretty good motivation.
And
like, another damn pews were filled up, so you always had to like stand on the side corner.
Yep.
I would actually prefer that, because then I don't feel obligated to do all the like knowing when I'm supposed to stand, kneel, sign of the cross. Like, no, give me a wall that I can lean against.
Yeah, dude. And the best part about it was like, I always like going to church with my cousins. Like, I'm one of the youngest cousins, and so our older cousins would always like volunteer to take us outside. And I realized it wasn't about they wanted to watch the kids; they just wanted to get the fuck out of Mass.
Right.
So yeah, we were just always outside, like chasing things around a fountain. Like, my parents still go to the same church, by the way. So they go to. It's funny, they go to St. Joachim's in Hayward. So that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's just like down the street from here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not good in churches lately because I have a habit of falling asleep in Mass.
Yeah.
There's even been questions about whether or not I should attend because I also snore. I had it where there was one Christmas, a midnight Mass during Christmas where I stood there and it was just so bored. I ended up just falling asleep and dozed off, and I almost fell into the aisle.
Dumbass.
And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you either have me go and this happens and you get married, because I don't care. I'm like, okay, hey, man, it's not engaging to me.
This is what you married.
I'm like,
this is what you married.
Who they know? It's my
the
mom's
guy that
the one
falls
who gets
the
mad.
Aisle.
It's like, I almost fell. Like, I caught myself. It's like, okay,
Scratch like, my ass while I'm down there, too.
It's like, I almost fail. I caught myself. But it's like, I tell my mom, I was like, listen, you can either have me go and this happens and you get embarrassed, or I just stay home and we'll be okay.
I'm a good guy.
Because I always argue, it's like, listen, if we're Catholic, really, as long as I mean it when I'm about to die,
right?
It's okay, right? You can't think of it. I'm like, you know, they put these loopholes in there.
They're there for a reason.
It's not my fault. If I'm honestly repenting.
Why are you getting mad at me for the things that you're teaching me?
I know. These are the rules I was given. I didn't say. But
I'm a good guy, but why do I have to spend my Sunday finding out why I'm going to hell?
I'm like, I'm okay.
There was actually one of my dad's friends was just like, you know, you should start going to church with your parents. You know, because of my divorce, they were just like, you know, maybe there's a nice person that you could meet at church. I was like, that is the last person I want to find somebody
to fuck. That.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that's unless like
I'm not a little boy.
I feel a little. What I was gonna say was what if it's not in the church, but like the parking lot, you're gonna run into a guy,
the guy that sells corn.
There you go. Never know.
There's my new boyfriend.
That's not.
Hey, lover.
I'm like, why not? Go for it.
Hey, puppy.
Get that. Elot Casso.
Just.
Well, no,
you
sorry.
Have
elote,
no accent.
I'm sorry. Elot.
Is it elote?
Elote. Is it elote? I don't know. I just read how it is. Elote in vaso.
Elote. Right? In a cup.
That's why I like it, because I don't like it on the stick. I like it in the cup.
Like, that's gonna
be
my.
I loved it on stick.
That's gonna be like my pickup line to him, because those are the only words I know. It's like elote, mangonada, and cerveza.
There you go. Oh, hey, that's what you need, though.
Yeah, I'll be like,
You're like,
I only got two hands and a mouth.
What do you mean, only? I feel like that's all you need, only. Right?
This is true.
What more do you need?
Semantics. Sorry. What are you doing?
I'm trying to like not spill my beer
bottle. Yeah, because I'm not drinking whiskey today. I'm drinking a head of beer. So
you are so disappointed right now.
I am actually very disappointed. Like, because you know, I ran out of the whiskey I have. I was actually originally going to start drinking.
What he's really saying is that the only way he can hang out with me is if he's getting slightly
drunk.
Well,
that's also not true. But you know, I just the thing I started.
I also like whiskey.
Yeah, see, I like varying whiskey. I was going to see, there's a list of like the mid-grade whiskeys you can start drinking.
Yeah.
And I got to go look through it and then go to BevMo and buy them and see how they are.
Somebody at work, at my day job, introduced me to Suntory whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
good really smooth.
One. Yeah.
But it's like, actually, if you look in the freezer that's behind you, like, you'll see that there's tequila, there's rum, I think there's the vodka in there, and then Southern Comfort. Which I'm weirded out by. Like, I've been weirded, like, because what it was is that I have an in-law who had, like, a party that had a bunch of alcohol, but she doesn't normally drink that much. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed a bunch of, like, I got vodka, Southern Comfort, and some dark rum. And it's like, Southern Comfort, am I, like, a college freshman girl going to drink this with some Coke?
No, because if you were a college girl, you would be drinking Midori sours.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, Southern
Comfort.
Freshman
year?
Don't remind me. Southern Comfort, like, we used to drink that with, I think, cranberry juice, I think. I don't know. Maybe because we all had UTIs. I don't know. But that's a college drink and a college disease for sure. Not a disease. It's just a
condition.
Condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens.
Man, this is just going crazy.
Well, yeah. Now part of me is like, do I just start busting out with that now, getting Southern Comfort?
Do it. I want a shot.
We might as well.
Do it.
Okay, well, hold on. You guys, we'll talk about yourself. I got to go get it.
All right. Go. All right.
Man, I mean, look at the direction that this podcast went into.
I'm enjoying it, dude. Like, conversations with old friend, with new friend. Like, I was thinking, you know, on the way here, I was thinking, how long have I known Randy? And I was like, Jesus Christ, I met him when I was like 19.
Jesus Christ.
That's like almost 20 years. That's like a whole like college kid's worth of years. That's a long time to know somebody.
Yeah, I've actually started to notice a lot of things too. It's just like, we'll see things. The worst one is the Simpsons that I follow on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because now they're starting to do the whole 20 years ago, Homer got arrested.
That's
fuck.
That's
it
a
has
really long
been 20 ago. Years ago.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
You know, no, I'm good. What was the other one? On this day, 20 years ago, Bart played a prank on Homer that blew up the house. It's like, fucking A, dude. That's it. I'm an old man.
Can you put the bottle down so I can Instagram this? Yay. Your flask.
Yep.
Oh, he loves that flask.
Yeah. I needed a new one because my other one broke.
No, I remember.
There you go.
Okay.
Nice. There we go.
You got that on there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Drinking.
A little bit of your arm.
Southern. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, wait, why did they order this drink? That's so, like, why did they buy this? It's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, cheers, dude.
Salud. There you go.
Wow.
I love that we got the little sound of the flask too. That was absolutely
my
perfect.
My good old flask.
Yes.
Stanley. That's dope.
Well, because I had a fancy one that my friend had given me as part being in his wedding party. And after, how long have they been married? I want to say it's like almost 10 years. No, is it 10 years? Oh, it's been several years and it finally started leaking. And I was like, damn it. And I thought to myself, well, this was one of those like mall, not kiosk, but the Things Remembered. That's where they got it from. Oh. I just like it because it's engraved with my initials and I really like it. But then when I started using it on this podcast, I realized that I think I may have used it too much and it just started leaking and it made like, I'm like,
but no, the alcohol was eating at the metal.
And it's like, I can't have that. So I looked online. I'm like, oh, I got my Stanley flask, which is funny because it's like advertised as like a thing you use when you're camping, like a canteen. But really, they're like, no, you put your booze in there.
Is this the correct thing, by the way?
I'm gonna go with
no.
Maybe not. Wait, what's the?
Are
you trying to check us on Instagram?
I am. Is that cool?
What's the? Yeah, of course. Okay. What's our podcast? Because we're
Productions.
Yes. There you go. Thank you. It's because we couldn't get those names, unfortunately.
Yeah. They're either too long or just like, no, you can't have that. What the fuck, dude?
Come on, guys. Come on, internet. Hook us up. We're going to get big one day.
One day.
And we're going to remember this, Instagram.
I know, Instagram.
You guys.
I know, by then there'll be another Instagram that we're going to be like, damn it, we need to jump on that. I don't know. Like I was like, people don't want to use Facebook.
This is really good cold, by the way.
I know. Well, I freeze all my alcohol. Well, I put it on the freezer.
You're so smart.
What I'm weirded out by is that people want to complain. Like, there's a weird. Someone brought up a point where, I guess was it whatever this current generation that's using Facebook wants to be able to add all these different things for their Facebook page, and basically their description was it was MySpace. Like, you're like, why can't
that's
I
immediately
have...
what I thought when you even started talking about that.
It's like, wait, you want to put like music in the background, have it easy so you can see your friends, all these different things. I'm like, motherfucker, that's MySpace. Everyone jumped off of that.
You still have Tom as your friend. It is It is Word Vomit Podcast, by the way.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I don't know.
She knows more about it than we do, apparently.
Clearly. To say that I did not create the social media outlets. Also, I've been drinking.
It's Friday, man. You've had cabin fever.
Is it Friday? Damn it. Oh, that's right, because I was working from home today.
You and me both.
The whole day. Do you have like a setup, or do you just like at your dinner table?
My setup is I have my laptop in front of me. It's like I'm on the couch, so okay. I have my laptop in front of me, and then on the table is where I have like things like my if I have to do like a phone conference, I have like a setup there, and that's also incidentally where I put my weed.
Good to know.
Gotta love the ganja.
I have a standing desk I use, and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna use this.
Where's the ganja?
I don't have any ganja. I realize I don't want to smoke it.
You're doing it wrong.
I don't want to smoke it, but I was thinking, like, you know, if there was like a liquid droplets or...
I think there is, actually. Like, you put it under your tongue.
Or the, like, a friend of mine is trying to get me into the cannabis vaping, and I'm like, I feel like I'd like that more. How much does that cost? But then, like, the college kid in me is going, but you still got to buy those sacks, though, bro. You got to get that Twomp sack.
Have you ever dabbed?
What's that? What do you mean, like?
So, I mean, I don't mean like.
What like, the, I know the what dance. I'm like, you mean like.
Like what our children probably do, like fucking every 5 minutes. No, so dabbing is, I don't know if there's an actual technical term for it, but basically what it is, it's like cannabis. It's like the oil concentrate.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you sort of like, they burn it in a glass pipe or like some sort of like bong looking thing. And the main thing that's keeping me from buying a setup for my own place is the fact that that shit looks like a meth lab. But honestly, you just need one hit of that and you're good.
Well, you know, freebasing something is the fastest way to get things into your system.
Right, freebasing. You're essentially freebasing weed is what it is.
I mean, I'm not saying necessarily from experience, Word Vomiteers. What sure. I'm saying is if you want, aside from straight syringe, the best way to get drugs into your system for speed is through freebasing, which I think that's enough. I'm going to say that. Manuel's looking at me all crazy. Like,
yeah,
what?
I'm feeling a little awkward now.
It's harm reduction. It's harm reduction.
For
it's
weed.
For weed.
Weed.
Harm reduction for
first
weed.
First of all,
don't inject
there,
it.
For, first of all, people who don't know, who are outside, because we do have international listeners, weed is legal in California. I'm pretty certain if there's anyone actually outside this country that's listening to us, weed is probably legal in their country too. So, yeah. Hey, high fives, guys.
You probably have a better system than we do.
Well, yeah.
Probably.
Almost every other country has a better system than we do.
I enjoy the fact that in San Francisco, like, this is maybe like 2 BART stops away from where I work. There is a dab lounge, and you can actually do this indoors. And it's kind of cool. It's called Urban Farm. And sometimes, like, I think on Thursdays, they actually have a stand-up comedy showcase, which I've been a part of, obviously. And it's sort of challenging because you're telling jokes in front of a room of intoxicated, super high people. But I'm just like, I will make these motherfuckers laugh.
That makes it even more impressive because if you can get a reaction out of them, that's even better.
Absolutely. There's 2 places in the city where you can do this kind of stuff. So it's that place that I just described. And do you guys know the that strip club called Crazy Horse?
You know what? Yeah.
The funny thing about that is, you're going to say strip club, huh? I'm like,
the thing is, I actually do because that used to be right by where 107.7 The Bone.
Oh, snap.
They used to be across the street.
Oh, yeah. They were right there.
Yeah, they ended up moving into the new building. So I would always walk by there, and there was always that pretty girl at the front door. She's just like, come on in. I'm like, I got to go to the radio station.
Yeah, dude. Like, twice a week they have so I think one of them is an open mic, and the other one's a showcase.
You told me that, and I went, wait, Crazy Horse, the strip club?
Yes. But it's not, like, in the main room where, like, all the strippers are, obviously. It's, like, in an upstairs private room. And they have this after a cannabis industry event, which is why you can smoke in there. So there's always, like, a dude that's rigging up, like, free dabs. And there's also, like, there's almost always, like, blunts being passed around that room. And more often than not, like, usually the show will start after they'll have strippers come in and they'll do their thing for a few minutes and then the show will start. It's a really late mic though. And more often than not, I mean, I guess this is to be expected. I'm usually, besides the strippers, I'm the only woman in the room. So that's always fun.
I feel like that's weird in the sense that I'd be like, well, I feel like I can get more money than they can. If I were you, I'd be like,
I've seen their jugs, man. Like, this is, yeah, I was super happy though because I feel like maybe like body standards are changing. Like, I went down with another comedian and we actually went right next to the main stage just to actually watch the strippers. And then I saw somebody come through that had, like, you know, I guess more or less maybe my like body type. And she was like, maybe if she had a few inches on me, she's about 5'8", and I would feel comfortable guessing that she was pushing 200 pounds. And I was like, this is really cool.
You're like, oh, hey,
this is really cool. Like,
For Crazy Horse, that's actually pretty good.
It's taken a while, but, you know, we're
body
evolving.
Acceptance.
We're evolving.
She had a pretty face. She had a pretty face. I think she also had that going for her.
Well, that works.
Yeah. So there's that's 2 places that I haven't been to either of those rooms. Probably, I want to say in a month because I've been focusing on other, like, just club shows and stuff like that. But
so where do you want to perform?
Where do I want to perform?
She's already been at the Comedy Store. Where else does she need to be?
Well, that's what I want to know.
So, you know, it's crazy. Like, this past year was the first year that I performed at a lot of the Bay Area clubs. Like, I've done, I mean, you've seen me.
Yeah, I saw you at Tommy T's.
I've done Tommy T's a bunch of times. Yeah. But this year I was finally able to get San Jose Improv, Cobbs, and SF Punchline.
No shit.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, where would I want to perform? Honestly, I wouldn't mind going back to San Jose Improv. Like,
That's like one of our Lupe and I. That's our favorite stand-up place.
It's a really good place to watch shows.
We actually went to go see Jason Mewes on Sunday.
Oh, he's, oh my god, how was it?
Super funny.
It was pretty cool. But I was telling him that because I used to live in San Jose. Okay. I was San Jose born and raised, and that area used to be an old movie theater.
Yeah.
Where they would have old ass fucking movies, and that's where I went to go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, San Jose. Like, I worked I started my career in Silicon Valley. So I used to work for Cisco, and so, like, when I was there, I was kicking it around San Jose for like years because pretty much like after we got off work, we would either go to happy hour or, you know, sometimes because there's not a lot of stuff around Milpitas or at the time, we would always venture into deep parts of San Jose to go get good food.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, it's always about the food, man.
I feel like, because I used to hang out in San Jose, and I look back on it now when I go with Lupe or any other friends, I go, I don't remember any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember this one. Like, oh, I used to hang out at this one bar. I'm like, it's a gay bar now. I'm like, oh, good for them.
Yeah, I was
good for them.
I'm like, good for them. Well, no, because I feel like there's, well, I mean, it'd be great if it'd be more of an inclusive scenario.
Sure.
But, like, I'm like, oh, I don't know any, I didn't know of any happening gay bars in this area. Except for, like, I learned about the, I don't know if it's officially a gay bar, but someone told me it was the Turf Club in downtown Hayward.
Yeah, you know,
I did not know, like, because of the World Famous Turf Club. I had a friend tell me, he's like, you don't know about that? I'm like, no. And when I went there, I had a great time. I wish I knew about it in college because I'd be coming there.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, apparently it's a gay bar. So I don't know.
I used to go to gay bars a lot. I used to actually work at gay clubs, you know, back when I was in college, like right around the time that you and I kicked it. One of my jobs, and I had a lot of jobs, dude. One of my jobs was I worked box office, coat check, and bar back for several clubs in San Francisco. And my favorite nights were always the gay club nights, because you could dance and nobody would harass you. As a 19, 20-year-old woman, that's kind of important. But also I really liked it because people there always had ecstasy.
You know, I didn't know about ecstasy.
Yeah,
there
are charms to it. Yeah.
Well, the thing about ecstasy was like in the late 80s, early 90s, apparently that was like a legal thing.
Yeah.
That was around.
It was a medication. They actually initially started out as medication.
They were selling it for like $4 at a bar. And
the thing we take for granted.
I
know. Dude.
And then Al Gore, or is it Al Gore? I forgot who it was. Some politician's wife saw that and went, too many people are taking this. It's actually not. I mean, drugs in excess, anything in excess
anything,
is terrible.
Yeah, no.
But it's like, you guys are killing everything.
And
man.
All things moderation, time. Right?
Yeah.
All things in moderation.
I look at it, I'm like, damn it. Only 10 years later.
Because I've had to have, I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to have conversations with my kid about like drugs. And, you know, he'll just really drop a lot of hints about weed. And I'm just like, weed's not a drug. He's just like, it's not.
Okay, mom.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, okay, mom. I was like, what do you know about marijuana? He was like, I know that when you burn it, you get hungry. Right? And I was just like, yeah, you're not wrong.
That's not a lie.
I mean, yeah. But
I always find like, I'm like, my son's, he's six. You met him. Well, yeah. You met him before, but it's like, yeah. Oh, you've seen him. But it's one of those things where I don't have to worry about those conversations yet.
Yeah.
But I realized there were some things that have come up that I went, huh, what are we saying? Like, I have to talk to Lupe about what is our stance on that? Because he asked, so he saw us playing with one of my nephews, and because he was just born. He's like, so where do babies come from? And we're like,
oh.
I'm like, I don't know. What do we talk about? How do we mention this? I'm like, well.
Kaiser Permanente.
I made a joke about how.
Or the generic answer, I'll tell you when you're older.
Well, right? Actually, I'd gone with the Scrubs answer, which was. You know, when a mom and dad love each other very much, they close their eyes and make a wish and hope for a baby. But he couldn't hear me because he's in the back seat. And I realized he had kind of checked out after he had asked that because we had waited too long to give the response. So he went back to playing on his iPad.
Of course.
And I went, well, I mean.
Bullet dodged.
The thing is, I don't know what the ruling on that is. Like, we recently had a relative pass away and we had to explain to him what that means. And I kind of wish it didn't play out the way it did, because my mom immediately said, it's okay, you don't have to worry, your relative's in heaven now, and he's okay with it, but I think it's because he thinks heaven is a place he can actually get to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish you hadn't said that, mom. We haven't discussed these heavy things yet.
You can also say, well, we can't afford to go to heaven until you're 80. It's like going to Mars. Like, not everyone can do it. We have to wait for a time where we can do it.
Actually, that's a good response.
You know what I mean? Like,
we can't afford it yet.
Heaven's a place that exists, but we can't afford to go there.
We can't get there yet. We don't have enough money yet.
Yeah, it's like flying business class internationally. Like, we just can't do it.
No.
Not without incurring some sort of significant cost, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, word volunteers. Heaven is like flying business class. can't afford it yet.
We're not there
at least
yet.
That's what you're telling your children.
Exactly. I've been skirting around the issue of talking to my son about like sex, especially ever since I started.
Wait, are you skirting around? You're a pro at this.
Yeah, but here's the thing: it's just he's also like when I started as a sex educator, he was like 8, right? And so I remember.
How old is he now?
He's 10.
Okay.
So he's in fourth grade now. He's gonna be in fifth grade, 11 years old in January. And I remember when I came home. And I was like completely drained because we had done like an entire like curriculum on how to talk to children about sex. And Jacob was just like, you've been gone for a long time. I was like, do you have any questions about sex? And he looked at me like, no, I'm eight.
No, I'm eight. That's a great response.
Yeah, that's literally what
I
he said.
I love your kid.
No, I'm eight. Awesome. Dude, my kid's awesome.
Her son is very funny. I've seen photos of him. There's a photo that she has that she posted on social media of, I don't know what posed it. I just saw it was he put on her knee-high boots.
Oh, yeah, that's around. Right. With a gun, right?
Yeah. And it was just very funny looking, silly. And I went, that is great.
I kind of wish the line was, I'm eight, I'll ask you in 5 years. And, right. And then just leaves the room.
Walks around with that. I'm like, cool.
He had a Nerf gun, too. I think I remember that picture because it was around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And he was wearing my knee-high boots, which came up to his, like, halfway down his thighs. And then he was like, carrying a Nerf gun around and just looking all serious, but he's wearing my fucking knee-high boots, which was hilarious.
Like, you look at him, you're doing a bit. What? No, man, I'm going to shoot you down.
He's also super funny. Like, that same summer in San Diego I was telling you about where we visited Christine and, I guess, Mark, we were on the beach, and then Jacob comes running to me, and this is a really nice beach. It's Wind and Sea, if you've heard of it. It's, like, in La Jolla. Really nice. Like, it's actually located in a residential neighborhood. So there's a lot of, like, people. Like, we parked in a really rich neighborhood and just walked down to some person's beach. Mm-hmm. And then Jacob, like, comes up to me, and he's like, Mommy, can I please draw dongs on the beach? And, you know, there was nobody there. So I was like, you know what? You said please. Sure.
I am so proud of you.
You said
go for it.
Please.
You said please. Go. I like draw all the dicks you want. So if you see it on my Instagram, I think it's from like last year or the year before. Like, you see my son on the beach next to like really. And it was accurate, too. Like, he had the balls and everything. I was like, see, that's correct sex education. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I look for.
That is some great anatomy you got there, kid.
Exactly.
Keep it up.
You got that vast deference in there.
When he talked about that, I found it funny because I've also seen on social media about how you don't like your son necessarily swearing.
Yeah.
And but he sent you pictures of him at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes. Hi, that's how he, I love that that's how he's trying to get away with. And you're like, I can't be mad.
That's the name of the Dick's.
He's always trying to find a loophole. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. Like,
kids always do that.
Yeah.
Though.
We're on BART. And then we see like billboards, and Jacob's like, Mommy, look. Dick's. And then one time we were actually at Dick's Sporting Goods, and we were like finding shoes for him, and then Jacob picks up my phone, and I'm like, who are you talking to? He's FaceTiming my dad. Grandpa, we're inside Dick's. Yeah, this Dick's is bigger than the one in Hayward. This is a big Dick's. And I'm just like, would you shut the fuck up? Like, he's just finding every opportunity he can.
But you know what? But you know what? You're saying that, but there's a little piece of your head, and you're just like, I am so proud of him right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He found a loophole. He just found.
You can't be mad at that.
You can't argue with it unless someone changes the name. Dick's.
No one's going to go to Richards.
I'm also, you know, to be honest with you guys, I'm also very. And this is, you know, I don't even think it's just me as a parent. I think this is just who I am as a person. I have always been sort of open and almost liberal with my use of profanity around my child. Like, I don't have a certain mommy tone. I don't have a, like, I talk to him the way that I talk. And he knows what all the bad words are, but it's honestly a huge, like, I'm really happy about the fact that he knows not to say them. Like, even when he's singing along to rap songs, which he's getting into.
He censors himself?
Yeah, like, that's instead of, like, the F word or the B word, he'll just be like, F or B, or if it's the N word, like, he won't actually say the word. Like, it's hella funny. Like,
so
I want to record him one day just doing that. It's just hilarious.
Like, with Lupe and I, when we were, when running was, you know, like a toddler, we both swear, which is funny because my wife's a teacher. She, like, you know, teaches like preschool and kindergarten.
Yeah.
But she swears quite often, not in front of those kids, but we very much swore in front of Ronan. And it got to the point where that was okay until he started repeating things back. And she is tries to be very diligent about that.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, like, I don't give a fuck. Until he started saying things, not necessarily that, but there was a point where I was playing a video game, and it's a video game called Duke Nukem, and he is a character known to say "come get some." So I jokingly said, "Yeah, come get some," and then he started repeating because he was watching me play it.
Come get some.
Come get some. And he's like, "What is that, Daddy?" He goes, "Oh, he's saying to come get some hugs, to get some kisses." So the next day, without fail, goes to class and tells his teacher to come get some. And I had to hear that. He goes, "This is what your son said," because he had gone to for the first 2 years, he went to the same school that Lupe teaches at, and said that. I was like,
"Come get some."
And I had to explain because she didn't know that that had happened. And I was playing Duke Nukem, and she's like, "Okay, I get it." And then What made it funnier is that my mom was the one who picked him up, and he's like, "Grandma, come get some." I was like, oh, "Are you watching your daddy play video games?" Like, yeah. I'm like,
"She knows, man."
She, my mom knew, and I just thought funny. I'm like, "That's." I'm like, "Well, I had to change it." I said, "Come get some hugs. Come get some kisses."
Yeah, such bullshit. Like,
come get some.
Jacob kisses. Goes. Jacob and I, of course, I take him with me a lot. Like when we go, I mean, obviously as a single parent, like we go grocery shopping, and then he'll just like pick up some stuff and like be like, "Mommy, what?" And we're like, and he'll hold up like some cashews, these nuts,
these
like just, he's not wrong, but like, he just looks
I love that.
These nuts. I took a picture of him at Trader Joe's, like with his, because he was actually in the nut section. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't resist. I was like,
too perfect.
Yeah. I was like, I captioned the picture, these nuts.
I feel like you need to show him some of those old commercials, like those corn nut commercials, Bust a Nut. You ever heard that? The
radio. I remember those.
Bust a Nut. It was for the corn nuts. So like, yes. Bust a Nut.
Are those still on sale?
Do it at school. Yeah, of course. You can buy corn nuts anywhere. But bust a nut. Do it at school, but don't get caught.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to find that on the internet somewhere. And I want to post it on our Facebook page. Yes, I'm like, yeah, bust a nut.
The thing that people get away with, man.
On the radio,
the
yeah.
Greatest marketing ever.
I feel like the closest you get to that was it the Skittles has the Taste of the Rainbow? And someone made, I think it was Funny or Die, made a commercial of a couple who were consummating their marriage, and the bride, I believe, says, "I want to taste the rainbow," and then you see this Skittles flying everywhere. And I went, "Oh my God, if this is actually," I was like, "Is this a real ad?" Like, and I looked at, I'm like, "Oh, it's like by Funny or Die or some comedy group." And I'm like, "Okay, that makes more sense." But I feel like they could almost get away with it.
They could probably get away with it.
I'm like, "Why? You don't see anything. All you're seeing is, you know, a husband and a wife kissing each other, and then, you know, Skittles everywhere."
You know, the older my kid gets, the more I realize some of the things that we got away with doing when we were younger, probably close to his age, that were so inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, I remember slow dancing to Silk, Freak Me.
Oh, man, Silk.
Sixth grade, like, let me lick you up and down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then I think when I was 12, like, I went to a, this is so fucked up. I went to a party. This is like, for a bunch of the private school kids that went to like St. Joachim, St. Joe's. Like, I went to public school my entire life, so I don't know about any of that shit. But they had like one of those like get-togethers for like a school dance, sort of. And that was the first time that I participated in a freak train to Rappin' Forte's Players Club.
Wow. Right? Rappin' Forte.
Yeah. And then when my sister
and
I were little...
Mr. Forte.
Exactly. When my sister and I were little kids, my parents have like tapes of us dancing to Love in an Elevator.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Right?
Yeah. You look at those things when you're older and you're just like...
Why?
Whoa, wait a minute.
Who said this? Because parenting's different now.
Who said this was a good idea, Dad?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh man, I haven't heard the name Silk in so long.
Right.
I feel like they're so close to there's a theater in San Diego called the Ball Theater, and I always feel like there's always 90s groups that come through there. Like they had was it 112?
Oh my
and
God.
And some other 90s R&B group is going to like have a concert there. I'm like, that is awesome. Also, like, I feel like it's kind of sad cuz it's not a big place. I'm like, but that's still awesome.
It's nostalgic to some of us, dude. Like, I'm forever playing, like, 90s music in my house.
Like,
likewise.
Not, what was it? Yeah. Who was the other group that I saw? I'm like, oh, hey.
Troop?
Not Troop. Oh, Casey and JoJo.
Oh, my God.
Casey and JoJo. And I saw, I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see this.
Those guys were so horny. Like, all of their songs.
Well,
dude,
they had, like, they knew how to do it. They knew exactly what kind of songs. They knew that their songs were being played.
And they knew how to market it.
To couples that are trying to hook up, and that's what's playing in the background.
That's right.
Helping some guy score while he's like in the backseat making out with this girl.
Somebody get it.
I was like, yeah. They don't have that now, huh? Nothing's like that now? Is that mumble rap and Tide Pods
and fucking Bleach and just I don't know what kids are into. Like, Jacob randomly like saves stuff to my Spotify, so I'm just like, that's how I find out about people. I'm like, okay, Post Malone or
Post Malone. I only know about that guy because I watched that show Ridiculousness.
I love Ridiculousness.
This MTV series. It's totally silly, right. But they had Post Malone on. I looked at him like, he is ridiculous looking,
right?
And I don't get how, because he talked about how he carries 10 G's in cash with him because sometimes he might find something he wants and just wants to throw money on it. I'm like, why do you carry $10,000 in cash?
And why do you talk about it? Yeah. Like, no, you're going to be at a restaurant now with people going through your shit.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. Hey, what's over there? Snatch and
it's
go.
Like, I remember talking to my my friend's nephew, and I go,
I'm warm now, dude.
I'm talking about, like, oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers, this, this, and that. And he goes, oh, do you listen to The Weeknd? I'm like, what?
Oh, you said about
that. Yeah, the first.
And he goes, you don't know what The Weeknd is?
I mean,
like,
I know The Weeknd.
The first time I wrote Weeknd, I wrote it like,
the correct way?
Yeah. And then my son was just like, no, mommy, there was no E in it. I was like, what the fuck? So is it Weeknd? And he had to actually spell it out for me. I was like, oh.
It's weak ND.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's who this guy is. Like, I feel fucking old as fuck.
Yeah.
Now that my kid's picking out music for me and shit. Like, I'm just like, why?
Oh, man. See, I don't. I only know who The Weeknd is because he collaborated with Daft Punk, and they performed that.
Jacob likes Daft Punk, too.
That's great. I'm like, Daft Punk's cool. But the other thing was, there was a TV series on NBC called Undateable, and they had a season where they did all live episodes, and they had always have a live performance. So they had The Weeknd there, and I didn't know. I'm like, who is this weird guy with his hair all off who sounds fantastic? And then someone tells me, oh, no, that's Selena Gomez's boyfriend. I went, wait, for real? Like, right? Really?
It's so weird, like, to think about people like Selena Gomez, like, and Demi Lovato, like, having sex with people.
No, I have no problem with that, but I'm
you,
like,
you watch them on, you watch them on Barney. I mean, that's where I remember them from.
Oh, man, I don't remember Barney. That at all.
Yeah, they were a little kids.
I mean, how many artists were fucking part of the Mickey Mouse Club?
This is
well,
true.
A lot.
A shit ton.
It's yeah, Ryan Gosling can get it.
Ryan Gosling, can he get it?
Justin Timberlake was never really my favorite, especially when he did that, like, stupid little fucking cowboy thing. I mean, I guess I'm just talking shit. He's
a
billionaire.
You mean like recently? You mean his last one?
You know, I had no idea about that. Like, I didn't even know
his Lumberjack album.
I found out on Instagram that he was actually doing a concert because I'm not really a fan. But I remember before, I don't know if this was before or after Mickey Mouse Club, he was on Star Search and he was going by Justin Randall and he was wearing a cowboy hat and fucking spurs. And I was like, this guy shouldn't be on TV anywhere. But clearly,
for folks out there who don't know what Star Search is.
Oh, that's right.
That is like
we're fucking old.
Because yeah. that's like American Idol, except they had categories where they would brutally judge you against someone else with a star system as opposed to having people vote for
and
you.
Then not just that, like you would have to compete against other people directly.
Yeah, that's what I'm
too.
Saying. Yeah, they're like right next to you. Yeah. Like, oh, that sucks.
I don't even think he won that one, but
no,
I mean, clearly he did well for himself.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, he's a freaking megastar now.
Dude, really. Ryan Gosling. Like,
Ryan Gosling. I always just remember him on Breaker High.
Breaker High. Oh, my God.
And then Hercules, The Young Adventures.
God, that's I think right, I lost my virginity watching that show.
Whoa, wait, what? Breaker High or Hercules?
Which Hercules? Oh, no, I was sorry. Hercules, I was thinking about Kevin Sorbo.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay. Well, that's a different fair Hercules. Enough. Okay. Yeah, that's fair
I
enough.
I was like, what, 1997? Yeah, ish.
And action, was it?
Action pack.
Yeah, I think
Hercules
like,
and Xena.
I think my whole life is defined by having some TV show in the background while I'm doing it. So that's it's fine. Just like, yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, that's kind of cool, though, because that means you have fonder memories of like TV
hopefully
shows.
Hopefully fond memories.
Yeah, right.
Mostly fond memories.
I feel like that should be, if you ever run into Kevin Sorbo, I was like, Kevin Sorbo, big fan. I lost virginity watching your show.
Exactly.
I'm not watching it.
You can actually go to Vegas and find him.
I was
there.
Watching it. That's how bad it was.
What? Oh. That's how bad it was. Aw,
you can find him in Vegas. He lives there.
Really?
Yeah. Kevin Sorbo. Good old Kevin Sorbo.
Does he still have the hair?
You know, the last time I saw him was on a show. His hair is shoulder length.
You know what's funny? Sometimes I forget these shows were like 20-something years ago. And it's crazy because I think somebody posted, I don't know if this went viral or whatever, but they posted a picture of what MacGyver looks like now. And
he's old.
Yeah, I was just like, man, this guy looks like fucking Santa Claus. And I realized, wait, he had that mullet and stuff in the 80s. Which is like 30-something years ago. Which is crazy. Yeah, I was
Richard
just like,
Dean
that
Anderson.
Was really, really long ago.
Well, sometimes I watch show, like going on to the Kevin Sorbo and Xena days. I watched that show and I thought that was really awesome. Lucy Lawless, who surprisingly comes from a comedy background. She did like sketch comedy in New Zealand.
Were they lesbians on the show?
You know, they talk about that.
They never confirmed it.
Just
which
like
I love that.
Just like fucking Peppermint Patty and like Marcy. Just, I feel like there's unspoken things. Like Gabrielle wanted to eat that shit, dude.
Maybe.
She did.
I mean, she's like,
that's her name,
yeah,
right?
Gabrielle. Yeah. Yes. It's Gabrielle. Gabrielle and Xena. And what got me is like, they showed a picture of Lucy Lawless. And then I think about, I'm like, she still can get it. Because I watched her on Battlestar Galactica. And
hell,
she was one of the Cylons.
Yes.
I went, hot damn, she's still looking great.
She was on Spartacus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
I loved her
plenty,
on Spartacus Bunsen.
Which had plenty of nude scenes of her. And she's like, wow.
I was like,
shit.
Good God. Damn, girl. Damn, girl. And then
I'll be the fight team.
She's a main character on Bruce Campbell's Ashes of the Evil Dead. And which is funny because she's friends with Sam Raimi, who helped get her career and everything. But yeah, she's still.
It's
saw that
because they had actually worked together too on Xena.
Yeah.
Because
he was
Bruce Campbell was Autolycus, the King of Thieves.
Yes, the King of Thieves with that little mustache thing. Lucy Lawless. I look, I'm like, good God, she's like, good for her. Good for her and her husband. High five, buddy, because you lucked out.
Isn't she married to the Raimi? Or was that
no, it's not Sam Raimi. She's not married to Sam Raimi.
Okay.
I feel like I'm like, damn, Sam Raimi, you need to put him in everything. If you need to put her in everything, have it be cool. Because, you know, help her out.
Yeah, everything. Well, I mean,
help us out by letting us see her more.
More of her.
Yeah, come on, man. Because, you know, it's like, come on, man. We've had enough of what's his name, putting Helen Bonham Carter in everything she does. I'm over her. She's like got that weird thing. Like, no, I don't need to see that. I'm like,
that weird, like, unbrushed, like, dreadlock looking hair. Like, bye, girl.
Every time, except for one movie she's been in, which was Big Fish, which where she's like most normal looking woman I've ever seen her.
I want to see her on like What Not to Wear. Like, I want to see her. Just, you know what I mean? Like,
be like a weird. She'll have. I'm not dreadlocks per se, but like
she was trying to go like for like Victorian goth or whatever reason.
Yes, yeah, and I looked at like how is Tim like, Burton's on, not like this, is he?
Like, you never know what they're like.
Well, they divorced, didn't they?
They were never married.
Oh, they just
but they're
that.
Separated.
One of those like really long term, like forever relationships, like Goldie Hawn and what's dude's face from
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, thank you. I was like dude's name from Death Proof.
I was gonna say Snake Plissken, but yeah, everyone knows their thing.
Yeah,
Kurt Russell.
So I hate to do this, but we actually passed the hour.
Oh, we did.
We did like an hour and 15 minutes.
It was funny, dude. We didn't talk about any of the subjects that we had talked about.
I thought we were going to try to segue to it just now.
I was
now.
Trying to, but then we didn't, and there was that funny story, and I was like, you know, remember we talked about how we should just have a record where we're just recording when we're talking, because you said, don't worry about it, we got this.
And this clearly was, we got this.
This was super fun. Dude, he was right, man. It was going to be super fun regardless. We can always talk about things. I like talking about things.
I know, but yeah. But that's the theme of our show, is we go on side tangents. One of our other co-hosts...
Oh, he gets so pissed when that
Sean
happens.
Sean Bender gets mad because he does like a lot. He wants to do legitimate research. He has a notepad. He writes all these things down.
He's hella serious.
He's very, he tries to bring it and they'll be like, we didn't talk about any, he'll always mention, we didn't talk about these things. I'm like, no, because our show is based on having this random conversation.
Is he serious? Is he like one of those guys that like listens to the stuff that's on Earwolf? Like one of those really serious?
No. Okay. I mean, what it is that because sometimes he's got limited on time on what he can do.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So because he's a single dad, you know, he's working full time.
I get it.
But he'll like, want, like he that? Hasn't seen something, so he'll just research whatever the subject is best he can. And then he has like a notebook full of these notes.
And doesn't use it.
And he's like, we didn't talk about those at all. I'm like, sorry, bro.
Like, we've done this like 8 times already. You haven't picked up that?
Like, sometimes
that?
We have it.
Like, right,
I mean,
you haven't figured it out by now?
Like,
shit.
We have it. There was one time where because of his work schedule changed, we did have it where I actually was like, you know, I miss having him around to talk to when we're doing this. We did a side B, we call it the side B episode, where we actually talked about the subjects that he had researched on.
That's good. That's a good concept, though.
Well, it's like side B. Side B.
Like a mixtape.
Which is funny. Yeah, we talked about that because I commonly call it side B, and I realized, I think we mentioned it in that episode, where I'm like, I don't know if the kids will know what side B means.
No. No. They're just like side B of a playlist online.
Yeah.
It's just like, the best reference, like I say, go watch Guardians of the Galaxy. You'll understand.
Oh, yeah, because he has the side.
Or they'll be like, side B, is that like emergency contraception?
He does side B, whoa. I feel like that. Well, maybe we should call it Plan B.
There you go.
But sense, yeah. What gets me about that in Guardians of the Galaxy? You never see him flip the tape over.
No, you don't. No, so they wouldn't know. Yeah, you're right.
Like side B, is that an app? Like
side B, side B. I feel like what's missing gonna miss out now is side B, like having the flipping of a cassette essentially, and hidden tracks.
Yes. We were at my parents' house, and my mom found a bunch of my old like mixtapes. Like some of them, like boys gave me or whatever. But there were some other ones where I recorded like a bunch of stuff off the radio. You know, like transistor radios. Yeah. And Jacob was just like, "Mommy, I want to play all of this." I was like, "We don't have anything to play it on."
No cassette player. Yeah. None of that.
I'm sorry, bro. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you guys got to wrap up.
No. It's too bad that the Sony Walkman's gone now.
Oh yeah, because they ended that a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and
Ivy, I mean, do you have any shows that are coming up that you want to promote?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me go. You guys talk about it for a second.
We're
going to
while you're pulling your information.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, let's go ahead and give everybody an update. So we're finally going to do some recording for the YouTube page.
Yay! But because it's taking us so long.
Yeah, it's taking us so long, like just life happening and whatnot. I know. So I think it's this terrible. Time around, and it's going to be almost by the skin of our teeth because I got to run around and grab all the rest of everything.
Yes.
But I honestly think I'm actually looking forward to this.
Also, wanted to I know we mentioned on our Facebook page, but I also want to congratulate the team behind Deadpool the Musical.
Oh, they won the Webby!
They won a Webby Award for Best Writing. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm going to repost up their video on our Facebook page this week. Well, next week when you're listening to this.
This week?
Well, yeah. And also, I'll send a link to our YouTube interview with them because we were like the first podcast to interview that team.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about that because
don't forget
good for them.
Us, guys.
I know. I made a joke on our Facebook page. It's like, hey, when they congratulations on winning, just remember what podcast interviewed you before you guys won these awards.
Right, right.
Just remember this.
Exactly. So
anyway, so yes, Ivy, where are you gonna be at?
Yeah. So so next week I'm gonna be taking finals and probably pulling out my own hair. But after that, like Thursday, I've got a show in Berkeley at this place called Sweet Tomato or Sweet Tomato. Just kidding. That's a salad bar. Red Tomato.
Okay.
And then
it sounds delicious.
Friday I'll be at a place called Seven Stills Brewery and Distillery. Really good drinks in San Francisco. Well, rather than read my entire schedule, go to ivycordova.com, AIVYCORDOVA.com for my full comedy schedule. The one show I do want to talk about is I'm going back to the Punchline on the 15th. So,
okay, sweet.
Yeah, dude. That show is called Embrace the Chaos. Of course. Yeah. So it's me and a handful of, you know, some of my favorite folks to work with, a couple other guys I haven't met. It should be a good time. So, I mean, if you guys are going to be anywhere in the San Francisco area, would love it if you could make it. Tell your friends.
Yes.
That's going to be a fun one. All just right. We always want to try to pack that place the fuck out.
So what we do on the show is we do final words.
Yeah.
So if you have any final words, by all means.
No glove, no love.
Okay.
That's only thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
Well, that's such an early 90s concept.
Yeah.
I mean, and current concept.
It still works.
Yeah. I had to send my kid to like the cookie aisle because I was trying to buy condoms and didn't want him to see. And he's just like, Mom, I see what you have in the cart, like behind the Totino's. Just quit fronting.
Did he say the words "quit fronting"?
No.
Oh, I was gonna say, damn! How cool is your kid?
That would be badass.
That?
I'm trying to
got swag.
I'm trying to drop those terms like "quit fronting" just in front of him, just so he talks like somebody from the '90s, which is what I miss in life.
Yeah. I'm Audi 5000. Oh, fucking A.
Oh God!
No.
2000 and late. Like, just no. I don't know. What are your final words?
My final words are, I guess, always get it in writing.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So for my final words, I will say, Margaret Cho.
Yeah. Oh,
man, that's a good one.
You need to touch the other knee.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I know.
Wait, which knee was it? Which knee was it?
It was my left knee.
Okay. You need to get the right
knee. You need to get the right knee. Margaret Cho. All right.
I just need to be in her way again at some place at some point in time.
We got to make it happen.
One day. I'll be sure
and
to tell
a photo
you
with you and her together.
That would be bad. Oh, my God.
Of her touching the knee.
Dream girl. Yeah.
Just don't make this weird.
Actually, no, make it weird because then that makes the memory even better.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Make sure that you guys are liking, sharing, and subscribing. Make sure you check out Ivy's social media accounts. She just put them out there for you. Make sure you check out the shows as well because it's a lot of fun. You don't know what you're going to get when you go to a comedy show.
True.
So, for Randy Kings, I am Emmanuel, reminding everybody to, hey, stay shiny to each other.